Amen. Hallelujah. John's setting his phone up here, so this has something to do with the recording. I'm not sure what, but I see some credit cards I might could use. Is there any cash in here? No cash. Jeez. Glory to God. We're sorry. We're sorry for the inconvenience. You don't know something's broke until it's broke. So there's an instrument back there or a piece of equipment called a compressor. I remember that from the old compressor limiter, and we think that's probably broken. So we are working on things, and so we appreciate your patience. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. I said the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And His mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad for His mercy? Amen, amen, amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Glory to God. We're going to begin in James chapter 1. James, the first chapter, and we'll look at verses 2 through 8. James chapter 1, verse number 2. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." The word trials there means temptations, tests, or trials. So any kind of trial that you're going through. "Knowing that the trying of your faith," or the testing of your faith, "produces patience." I think that would be much better translated. The trying of your faith works your patience. Trials don't give you patience, but they work your patience. And if you continue to stay true to God and continue to stay true to the Word of God and don't back off and don't give in to the pressure of the circumstances, then, amen, you'll stay in faith and patience will have its perfect work. Verse number 4, "that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse 6, "but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Praise God. Well, there's a lot you could say here, but I just want to point out that if you want to receive something from God, you have to ask in faith, because faith is how we receive from God. Faith is our spiritual hand whereby we reach out and just receive what God has given to us. And so if we don't take, if we don't appropriate, if we don't receive by faith, amen, if we don't pray in faith, then we won't receive anything. He says very plainly there. Will you fix that? I know. It says very plainly there, "let him ask in faith, for he who doubts, for let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord." That is, if you ask doubting. Praise God. So we know that. Psalm 78:41 says the Israelites limited the Holy One of Israel. Somebody said, "well, I didn't know God could be limited." Well, when you don't obey Him, are you limiting Him? If somebody doesn't believe Him, they're limiting Him. The Living Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel from giving them His blessings. And obviously, one of the main reasons, one of the main ways, rather, they did this, one of the main ways that the Israelites limited the Holy One of Israel was because of unbelief. So if you pray in unbelief, you won't get an answer. The Bible clearly says you can limit the Holy One of Israel through unbelief. In Mark chapter 6, you're familiar with that passage, that whole passage, Mark 6, first 6 or 7 verses there, says Jesus went to His own hometown. Well, how many of you know what you want to do good in your own hometown? Well, He went to His own hometown, but it says they didn't believe in Him and His ministry. It says they got offended at Him. The word offended there means they didn't trust somebody that they should have trusted. See, offended. And so you leave and desert somebody that you should not leave, that you should not desert. You don't have faith in somebody that you should have faith in. You don't trust them. So they got offended at Him. They said, "hey, we know Him, you know." And so they didn't believe. And it goes on to say that in verse number 5 says, He could. Now watch this. It says, He could do no mighty work there. Not He wouldn't do any mighty work there, but He could not do any mighty work there. See, unbelief limited the Holy Son of God. And if unbelief will limit Him, then it'll limit us. See, He could not get past their unbelief. They have a will. They don't have to believe. The Amplified Bible says He could not do any mighty works because of their unbelief. And we know that's so because the very next verse, verse number 6, says Jesus marveled. He marveled at their unbelief. And because of their unbelief, He could do no mighty work there. All right, with that in mind, look at Hebrews, just one book back if you were in James. Hebrews chapter 3, we read a while ago where the children of Israel limited God through unbelief. Well, we see that right here very clearly in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 19, it says, so we see they, that's the Israelite, could not enter into the promised land. You remember, God told them to go possess the land, go take the land. But they looked over into the land and they saw there were giants there. They saw there were great walled cities there. And they saw there were strong armies over there. And they said, we cannot do it. And so they didn't enter in because they didn't believe God. So we see, verse 19, so we see they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Chapter 4, verse number 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, the promised land is called the land of rest. Amen. And you have to understand that the promised land is a type of everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. The promised land is a place where the promises of God come true in your life. But they didn't enter into their promised land and will not experience the promises of God if we operate in unbelief. Verse chapter 4 again, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Can you hear the word of Almighty God and it not profit you? And it not do you any good? The word they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Amen. So if we don't believe the word, then we will not receive God's promises. And you know this. I'm just laying some groundwork here. You know this. Faith limits, unbelief limits God. Doubt, if we operate in doubt, you know, we can pray and scream and cry and beg and plead. But if we're praying in doubt, then we won't get any answers. But even though we know that unbelief keeps us from receiving the promises, we still have to deal with it. We all still have to deal with it. Why is that? Why is it that people don't believe the word of the living God, of Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth? Well, number one, there's three main reasons. There may be more, but three main reasons. Number one is simply a lack of knowledge. Amen. People simply don't know what God has done for them or promised them or made available to them. And you can't take advantage of something that you don't know. Now, I'm fixing to tell you something you may not know, and this will save you some money. I didn't know this, but John told me. You know, our faucet and our sink wasn't working. A couple of things happened to it. It was dripping. It wasn't working. And then the sprayer that you pull out didn't work. And John said, did you know that if you call the manufacturer, it doesn't matter which manufacturer it is, whether it's Pfizer or Delta or Moen or Glacier Bay, if you call the manufacturer, they will probably send that part to you free. They guarantee the parts of their stuff for life. And so you can go down to Lowe's or you can go down to Home Depot and you can spend $25 or $185, but if you call the manufacturer, they will probably give it to you free. And he was right, they gave it to us free. They gave us what we needed to fix it. They gave us a brand new sprayer. And then in our bathroom, in one of our bathrooms, you know, a guest bathroom, the thing where the water comes out of the tub. The faucet. Hallelujah. Faucet. It's a wonderful word. The faucet, you know, and so to fix that you had to have any of you guys ever heard of having I'm sure you have it, you have to replace the cartridge. Well, that cartridge for that particular thing at our local stores costs $59. We just call Glacier Bay. They send it to us overnight, and they send it to us free. Well, if you don't know that, it won't do you any good. You could have $100,000 in the bank. Now, you know, I realize you'd probably be aware of it, but I have had money in my wallet before that I forgot that I had. It was legally mine. It belonged to me, but because I forgot it was there, it didn't do me any good. Amen. And so, three main reasons people operate in unbelief. We all have to deal with unbelief. It's because of lack of knowledge. Number two is many hear the word of God, but they reject it. They hear, it doesn't matter. If you hear the word of God on divine healing and you reject it, then you will not be healed. If you hear the word of God on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but you reject it, then you will not be healed. Will not receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So when people hear the word and reject it, but you know, these people didn't suffer from a lack of knowledge. They didn't reject the word of God. They were happy about the promised land. Man, it was a land of flowing with milk and honey. They wanted to go into the promised land. So why didn't they believe? Well, the third reason is what I call unpersuadableness. Unpersuadableness. People hear the Word of God. They're excited about the Word of God. By His stripes you're healed. God will supply all your needs. You can be delivered from this habit. God will answer your prayers. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. They hear it. They get excited about it. They even agree with it. They may even shout about it. But they're not persuaded to act on it. They're not persuaded to believe it. Amen. They're not persuaded to allow it to govern their lives. Why is that? Well, it's because of those giants in the land. The children of Israel wanted to go in the promised land. They're excited about it. God told them over and over and over, I'm giving you land, giving you the land. I'm giving you the ability in essence to go up and possess it. Now step out in faith and go get it. Go take it. Go possess it. But they wouldn't do that because the spies came back, you know, and said, there's giants over there. And there's great walled cities over there. And the people, there's the Hittites and Thesites and Thoseites, and they all have strong armies. And they said, we are not. See, they said it in doubt and fear and unbelief. They said, we are not able to go up and possess the land. And they got exactly what they believed in their heart and said with their mouth. They doubted the word of God. God said they could take it. They said, we can't take it. Well, why didn't they believe? Because they were overwhelmed by the pressure of their circumstances. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the pressure of your circumstances and operated in doubt? Sure, we all have at some time or another. So they doubted God's word. Hebrews 4:6, look at this now, very important. Hebrews 4:6 says, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, and that to those to whom it was first preached did not enter, they did not enter into the promised land. New Testament, you know, promised lands. They didn't receive all, if you operate in unbelief, you won't receive what rightfully belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You won't receive all that Jesus redeemed you from. They didn't enter in because of, New King James says, because of disobedience. King James says because of unbelief. And so if you can look at, 50 translations and basically, you know, half of them will say unbelief and half of them will say disobedience. Why is that? They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter in because of disobedience. Well, see, if you don't believe God's word, then you won't obey it. You won't act on it. In other words, unbelief leads to disobedience. Unbelief leads to not acting on the word of God, not being a doer of the word of God. So the Amplified Bible says they did not enter in because of their unbelief evidenced by disobedience. And one of the definitions of the Greek word translated unbelief or disobedience here is unpersuadableness. They did not enter in because they were not persuaded to believe God's word. They didn't have a lack of knowledge of God's word. They knew that God had promised the land, promised them the promised land. They were excited about going into the promised land. Oh, it was an exciting day, but they were not persuaded to believe God's word. Why? Because of the giants and the other problems. Amen. So God's word tells you something, but your feelings say it's not so. God's word tells you that you're forgiven, but your little emotions say, I'm not forgiven. The word of God says you're strong, but your mind says, no, I'm weak. The word of God says you're healed, but your body says you're sick. The word of God says you're blessed and prosperous and your needs are met, but your checkbook says you are sucking wind. You know, so all of those different things are going on. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And the devil, that's what the devil said. What are you going to do? Amen. Well, you have to be persuaded to believe that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it seems like. If Almighty God says it's so, then it is so. And when you say it's so and agree with Him in faith, then it becomes so in everyday reality in your life. Amen. But what happens is we focus on the giant. We focus on the checkbook. We focus on our emotions and our feelings and how we feel and nobody loves you. And we focus on that stuff and that will, and become, when we get overwhelmed and then we're not persuaded to believe what the Word of God says. Are you listening to me? Amen. And so people believe their circumstances over God's Word. They are not convinced. They are not persuaded. See, faith at its root is to be fully persuaded or fully convinced of something. But people are not convinced. They're not persuaded to believe God's word. Amen. And really this word in the Greek and in the English, this word translated unbelief, translated disobedience, one translation translates it unpersuadableness, and the English word, not being persuaded, carries this thought to be obstinate in your unbelief. Well, I know you sort of know what obstinate means. Let me give you another word. To be pig-headed. You get that, don't you? To be pig-headed. Say, well, I'm not being pig-headed. I'm not being obstinate. It's just that, you know, I want to believe God's word, but gosh, all these. But you have to understand from heaven's viewpoint, Almighty God said.
Yes, right.
The creator of heaven and earth. The one who's all-powerful. The one who knows the beginning from the end. The one who sees everything. And then you're going to sit back and as far as heaven is concerned, rebelliously and obstinately say, well, that's not true because of this little emotion I have. So from God's viewpoint, that is being pig-headed. That's being, you know, wrong-headed. Amen. Now, we said all that. We said all this. To say this. This question naturally arises. Why would those who know the Word and those who agree with the Word, and those who honor the Word and say, yes, this is God's Word. This is the Bible. I believe it, you know, from end to end. Why would people that have that attitude not be persuaded to act on it and believe it? Well, we know people doubt God's Word, as we've been talking about, because of the pressure of the circumstances they face. The giants are big. We know that. They're overwhelmed because they... And the problem here is people focus on the wrong thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by continually hearing the Word of God. If you continue to look at God and look at His Word, you'll get in faith and you'll stay in faith. But if you take your eyes off the Word of God and you begin to focus on your problem, focus on your troubles, focus on what your mind's saying, focus on what you can see, focus on what your feelings are telling you, then you'll be overwhelmed every single time. I don't care if you raised 3 people from the dead last week. So you have to focus your attention. Like I said, people get overwhelmed because of their problems. Because, the reason they get overwhelmed is because they're looking at, focusing their attention on their symptoms, their circumstances, their feelings, their emotions, instead of God's Word. Glory to God. What you ought to do is spend time in the Word of God and let it overwhelm. Like I always say, get so full of the Word of God, they can't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Like a sponge. When a sponge gets saturated, you put a little pressure on it, what's in it comes out. And you're so full of the Word of God that nothing will come out of you but the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But if we focus on what we can see and feel, we will always operate it out. But if you keep your minds on the truth of God's Word, you'll get in faith and you'll stay in faith. Now, and this is where I'm really getting to. Sometimes we are not persuaded to believe God's Word because we just don't see how God is going to be able to do this. We just can't figure it out in our brains. In other words, we just can't rationally believe that this could ever happen to us. We just can't figure out in our own thinking how God is ever going to do this. But our job is never to figure out how God is going to do something. That's not our part. We don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. We don't have to figure out when God's going to do it. Amen. Our part is just to believe the Word. All things are possible to him that believes. And that's our part. And if we are going to really operate in greater levels of faith, we must go beyond believing only what is reasonable to our intellect. Because I've observed this over the years. People believe as long as it's reasonable to their intellect. What do you mean by that? I can believe it looks tough, it looks tight, we just got this new home, but I can believe with all my heart, I can truly believe that God will help me make the payments on this house. Well, praise God, amen, that's good. Amen. Do you believe God could give you the $37,000 you need to pay it off? Do you believe God could give you the $69,000 you need to pay it off? Or the $150,000 you need to pay it off? No, I just can't see that happening. I mean, I don't see any way under the sun that could happen. Well, then it's never going to happen. And that's okay. I mean, you know, if you're making your payments and doing it, praise God. Thank God for that. But what I'm saying is you can't go any higher in faith if you can't believe something unless you can reasonably figure out how God's going to do it. God does things all day long, every day, for millions and millions and millions of people that cannot be explained or understood by the intellect. Hallelujah. So let's look at Numbers chapter 11. Even Moses had an issue with this. Numbers chapter 11. Now, how many of you know Moses saw tremendous signs and wonders in his life? I mean, the Red Sea divided and all those different things, you know, signs, wonders, miracles. But here in Numbers chapter 11, what's going on is the people have gotten tired of the manna and they are complaining because they have no meat. I mean, God has supernaturally given them manna, but they get tired of eating that manna. And they said, we want some meat. And they said, we had meat back in Egypt. And so you can imagine God did not respond well to that. But because he never responds well to complaining. In Numbers chapter 11, verse number 18. I'm in Deuteronomy. No wonder that doesn't make any sense. This is the Lord talking here. This is the Lord talking to Moses. Verse 18, Numbers 11, 18. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow they shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. Verse 19, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? And then this is verse number 21. This is Moses' response. Moses said, the people who I'm among are 600,000 men on foot. So that means there were somewhere between 2, 3, 4, 5 million of them. He said, yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? I mean, Moses has seen all these signs. He's seen all these wonders. He's seen all these demonstrations of God's power. But in this case, he just couldn't figure out in his little peanut brain how God was going to do this. And it kind of, you know, as we say today, it blew his mind. You know, so there's about 3 million of them. Somebody did a study, you know, and said it took over 200 tons of food per day to feed the Israelites. Tons over per day. And so somebody else did a study and they said, you're talking about, you know, maybe as many as 200 million quail to feed them this long. And Moses said, I don't see this guy. I can't figure this out. Now here's God's response to Moses, verse number 23. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? I don't have alligator arms. You know, you see those commercials? Comes time to pay the bill, and the guy's got alligator arms. He goes, I can't reach it. The Lord's arm is his mighty power, his strength. He said, my arm has not been shortened. Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. In other words, is my power, represented by his hand, is my power limited? No. Is my power short? Is my power or ability to do this limited in any way? God's power is not limited to do anything. Amen. He is omnipotent. One of the definitions of omnipotent, you know, that means all powerful, but it means there is no limits to your power. God can, you all know, we all know God can do anything. But sometimes what happens is like Moses, we begin to say, I just can't rationally figure out how God is ever going to get me out of this mess, how God is ever going to rescue me, how this is going to happen or that's going to happen. I just can't figure it out. And then that causes us to operate in unpersuadableness, where we know what the Word of God says, but we're not persuaded to act on it. We're not persuaded to govern our lives by the truth of God's Word, because we just can't see how it's going to happen. Amen. But we don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. Amen. We just need to focus on God. But if we start to focus on how God is going to be able to do something, and we can't figure it out, then we'll begin to doubt every time. Our part, say my part, is to believe. Our part is to believe, praise God. God's part is to make it happen. Our part is to focus on His Word. God has never failed on His end. Anybody, ever. Our part is to focus on His Word. Our part is to focus on His promises. It's not our job. It's never our job to try to figure out how God is going to bring it to pass. Our part is to, by faith, count it done. We believe He heard and answered our prayer. We believe we have what He says we have. We believe we can do what He says we can do. We believe we are who He says we are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We believe that. We confess that so. And we just praise God and thank God for it. Oh, glory to God. Somebody says, well, yeah, what about all this? I don't have anything to do with that. That's none of my business. That's God's part. That's not my part. I'm just doing my part. I believe. I have nothing to do with that part. I ain't even going to look at that part. God's hand is not short. Gloria Copeland said, stop limiting God because of unbelief, because you don't believe. Stop limiting God just because you don't understand how He's going to do the things He has promised. If we had to depend on what we could understand, we'd be in great trouble. But we don't. All we have to understand is that God is God and He has all power. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or all we can think. Hallelujah. You know, about 5 years ago, I heard Brother Hagin, you know, I'd heard him share his testimony many, many times. You know, he was raised off a deathbed, had five different things wrong with him, deformed heart, paralyzed, amen, an incurable blood disease, and several other things wrong with him. And so I was hearing him tell his testimony, and he brought out an aspect of it that I'd never heard him say before, that I had never heard. That fits right here. So let me remind you of his testimony, and I'm just going to read it because I can read you six paragraphs in a minute and a half. If I tell it, it'll take 20 minutes. And so listen, because if you don't know this, this is powerful. So you know his case here a little bit. Had all these things wrong with him. Incurable blood disease, paralyzed, a deformed heart. Really everything in his cavity right here. Every organ that he had was deformed. And so he said, I prayed hours on end, day after day, week after week, month after month. I cried and prayed, dear Lord Jesus, please heal me. I begged Him to heal me. Several nights I prayed all night long. He's a teenager. I was thoroughly saved, but my praying brought no results. I'd pray and I'd be certain that God heard me because I had a spiritual feeling of some kind. I'd just feel this was it. Then I'd feel my pulse, you know, check my pulse. My heart wouldn't be beating right. My legs were still paralyzed. Lifeless bones with a little skin stretched over them. No meat, no muscles in the thighs or calves. I'd start crying and saying, Lord, I thought You were going to heal me. I felt like You did, but You didn't. I couldn't understand. I'd just give up. Wouldn't even try. Then I'd go back to the Word. Finally, on the second Tuesday of August 1934... after being on the bed of sickness for 16 months, I was praying at about 8:30 in the morning, and I said to the Lord, now, dear Lord Jesus, when You were here on the earth, You said in Mark 11:24, what things soever You desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Dear Lord Jesus, I desire to be healed. You said, when you pray, Lord Jesus, I pray. You said, believe. And then I said, dear Lord Jesus, if You stood here right beside me in the flesh, like my mother does, and if I could see You with my physical eyes, as I could see my mother, and if I could reach out with my physical hand and lay my hands on Yours as I can my mother's hands, and if You were to say to me, son, the trouble with you is you're not believing. Lord, I would have to reply, dear Lord Jesus, You're lying about it. I do believe. I said this with kindness, not with arrogance. I do believe. I do believe. When I said that, He spoke to me, you know, in His heart. And He said, I discovered the secret to faith that day. The secret that will work for you if you're on a deathbed. The secret that will get your utility bill paid next week. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus did not speak to me literally, but He spoke to me. The Lord said, yes, you believe all right as far as you know. As far as you know. But the last clause of this verse of Scripture says, believe that you receive them. And you will have them. Then I saw it. It was just as somebody had turned on a light on the inside of me. I saw it instantly. I exclaimed, dear Lord Jesus, I see it, I see it. I have to believe I received my healing. I have to believe I received my healing for my heart while my heart is still not beating right. I have to believe that I received healing for my paralysis even though I'm still paralyzed from the natural standpoint. And if I don't believe I receive it, then I don't have it. You have to believe you are forgiven, even though all your feelings are screaming at you, nobody loves you and God has to forgive you. You believe you are. according to the Word of God. I had never seen this before. I had wanted to receive my healing first, then I'd believe it. But you don't have to believe it then, you'd know it. I saw what I had been doing. I had been hoping all those months to receive healing, and it didn't work. After receiving the revelation of God's Word, I immediately lifted my hands. Nobody told me to do it. I can't explain why I did it. I just did it. And I said, Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, thank God I am healed. I prayed and I believed I received. I'm not saying that I feel better. I'm not saying that I look better. But I believe that I received and I am healed. According to the Word of God, I am. Thank you, Father, that I am healed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I wasn't in the habit, I was in the habit of feeling my heart to check it. Listen now. I unconsciously reached to feel it. When I did, I slapped my hand away and said, don't you do it, Mr. Devil. No, don't you do it. Now, Mr. Devil, I didn't say I felt as if I were healed. I said that if I said that, I'd be lying. And if I said I look like I'm healed, that would be lying. I didn't say anything about how I look or feel. I said I believe I am healed. I believe I am, and I received the answer to my prayer. If you say I don't believe, then you're lying. Besides that, you're a liar anyway. Amen. Jesus said you are. Glory to God. Now, that's his testimony. He said, my part, here's what I heard him say that I'd never caught before. He said, my part was to believe I received my healing. Believe you received the answer to your prayer and believe that you got it. You know, before he was always checking himself. But now he said, I realized it's God's part to see to it that my healing is manifest in the natural. I don't have anything to do with that. Listen carefully. My part is to believe I receive. He said, this is where people miss it. We are to believe we receive. And God takes care of the having part. He is the one that causes it to manifest in our lives. He's the one that causes it to happen in our life. Our part is to believe. So Brother Hagin said, I'm not going to touch God's part. Meaning, I'm not going to touch it in my thought life. I'm not going to think, well, how is this going to manifest? When is this going to happen? I'm not going to be concerned about the symptoms. The symptoms have nothing to do with it. As far as I'm concerned, I did my part. I believed I received. I don't care about the symptoms anymore. I don't care about the circumstances anymore. It's God's part to make that all go away and to make it come true in the natural. I already have it, but to make it manifest in the natural. He said, I'm just going to believe God heard and answered my prayer, count it done, and praise him for it. Amen? Yeah. This is what got my attention. See, in a matter of minutes, as you read all of this, in a matter of minutes, he was up walking and walked off that deathbed healed by the power of God. But this is what got my attention in telling his testimony. He said, I really didn't expect the manifestation to come that quick. Listen to me. He said, I really didn't expect the manifestation to come that quick. I knew it would come because I believed I received. So as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. That's done. I believe. I don't care what it looks like anymore. I don't care what it feels like anymore. I'm not checking to see if I'm healed anymore. I know I'm healed because I believed I received my healing. And I know things will change eventually. Whether it's 1 minute from now, 1 hour from now, 1 month from now, or 3 months from now. I don't care. I believed I received. So he said, I really didn't expect the manifestation to come as quickly as it did. He said, because I had the revelation. See, he's confident. He's full of faith. He believes. That settles it. It's done. He's healed according to the Word of God. And so he didn't have any kind of feeling. He didn't have any kind of anointing, special anointing. His body still looked diseased and sick. But he had God's promise that he was healed. And he didn't care in the least now how he felt or how it seemed. Well, in his particular case, he was up and walking in a few minutes. But his point was, I believed I was healed and I knew it would manifest. So if his healing, this is what he said, if my healing had not manifest that day, it would not have affected me in the least. If it didn't manifest till a week later, I'd have still been believing. And he said, if it didn't manifest till a month later, I'd have still been believing. And he said, If it had to manifest in 60 years from that day, I'd still believe. Of course, he always says when you have that kind of dedication, that kind of consecration, that kind of commitment, that kind of faith, and you're willing to stand that long, you usually don't have to stand very long. So you got to get that. You understand that. Amen. My job was to believe. His job was to see that I had it. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? God's job was to cause him to have it in the natural realm. And then I remember, when he said that, I remember several testimonies. You know, he talked about his daughter had not a sty, but a growth on her eye. I remember him talking about, just as a teenager, you know, a couple of years after this, his face looked paralyzed from halfway over. And so all the young people, you know, were, he's walking home and he went up, you know, in the prayer line. And of course, he had learned the secret to faith, to believe you receive. They laid hands on him. So he said, praise God, I'm healed. Glory to God. They laid hands on me according to the word of God. If you lay hands on them, the sick, they'll recover. You know, probably anointed him with oil, you know, with oil, God will raise up the sick. So he says, I turned around saying like I knew to say, glory to God, I'm healed. Praise God, I believe I received my healing. And so as he's walking home, one of his teenage friends, one of the girls said, did you get healed when you were up there? He said, yes, I got healed. And so she said, they came to a light. She goes, well, it doesn't look like you're healed. Get over here in the light and let me see. He said, well, what do you mean you got healed? He said, I was healed when I went there. You're not healed. He said, yes, I'm healed. Because the Word of God says I'm healed. Yeah. See, he's not going to focus. He's not even going to pay any attention to that. So he got home and he told her mother. He said, Mama, look at this. Said, Ken says he's healed. Look at him. You can see he's not healed. Well, she had enough sense to know something that the little girl didn't know. She said, maybe he knows something about faith we don't know. And he did. Of course, he woke up. I think the next morning it was gone. But he didn't wake up running to the mirror to see if it was gone. He woke up saying, thank God I'm healed because the words. I'm healed. Why are you healed? Because you look better. No, because the words as I am. Real faith gets real results. And so here's what I noticed. I mean, he talked about his daughter. I remembered when he gave several of these testimonies that I think back on them. It was almost like he went out of his way not to look and see if anything had changed. It's almost like he avoided checking to see if anything changed because he didn't want to touch God's part. He knew it would change. He was just doing his part. And if he believed he received, he knew he would have. If he believed he received, then he would have in the natural. Glory to God. And you see, that kept his attention and his focus on the promises and off the circumstances. So that's why he didn't operate in unpersuadableness. He believed God's word. He believed. Amen. So when and how it happened was none of his concern, none of our concern. Symptoms and circumstances are really none of our concern. Amen. Feelings are none of our concern. Just whatever the word of God says, that's what we focus on. God told Moses, there's no limit to my power. My hand's not short. Just because you can't figure it out doesn't change a thing. In 2 Kings chapter 3, three of God's armies, you know, the Israel, Judah, and another army, they went out to face one of Israel's enemies. Now, you know, when they take their groceries with them, they don't have, you know, like today, your groceries are the sheep and cows walking along with you. So they got their horses, they're riding, and their sheep and their cattle, and they get out, and they go by way of the desert, and they get out into the desert, and they ran out of water. How many of you know you were in trouble when you run out of desert in the water? I mean, you run out of water in the desert. You're out of trouble when you run out of water in the desert. Serious trouble. Amen. Not only that, your enemy armies over here to the side seeing your condition, and they're going to all come, you know, before you thirst to death, they might come over and kill you in your weakened state. Wonderful story. But God provided them water in the desert without it raining, not only for them, but for all their sheep, all their cattle, all their horses. Great miracle, great miracle. And in 2 Kings 3:18, the prophet said, for the Lord, this is a light thing. For the Lord, this is a easy thing. For the Lord, this is a simple thing. For the Lord, this is a small thing. I promise you, whatever you may be facing this morning, whatever it is, for the Lord, it's a simple thing. It's a light thing. It's not a big deal to him in the least. Glory to God. It was simple for him to give them victory over their enemy. Glory to God. And it's simple for him to give you victory over your enemy. Yes. Amen. Just quit reasoning and start believing. I said, just quit reasoning and start believing. I don't know how God can ever get this money to me. I just don't see it. You don't have to see it. You don't have to understand it. Glory to God. I medical science says there's no help for me in this. You know, I was experiencing ringing in my ears. Ringing in my ears. I went to see the doctor, you know, because I was just a regular checkup. And I'd read where you know, how we do. We get online and look at that stuff. And it says, you know, they call it, it's tinnitus, ringing of your ears. To me, it sounded like cricket noises. You know, did you hear at night? I didn't even notice I was having it for a year because I night fish so much, I'm used to those noises. And I just thought, man, there's a lot of crickets out here at night. And when it's happening in the middle of the day, finally after about a year of that, I was like, duh. You know, my ears are ringing. And so the doctor says, you know, so I look it up and they say, well, sometimes because of a wax buildup that can cause that. Other than that, there is no cure for this. No cure. So I went to see Dr. Swan, who, by the way, is retiring, if you don't know. I went to see Dr. Swan, and I said that to him, and so he's looking. He goes, oh, tinnitus, and he's looking in my ears. He gets excited about his new disease. He's looking in my ears, and I said something about, I understand that a wax buildup, and he goes, nope, I can see clean through. You know? I believe I'm healed of tetanus. I believe I'm healed of tetanus, of ear ringing. I didn't say I didn't have ringing in my ears right now, and I'm speaking to you, but I believe I received. It's God's part to the other. And there will come a time I will get up and tell you, I believed I received, and it's manifest. But I'm already healed. How do you know? Because God said you are. I don't see how God could ever get me out of this emotional mess I'm in, this financial mess I am. You don't have to figure it out or understand it in order to believe. God's hand wasn't shortened then, and His hand is not shortened now. Glory to God, we got to finish this up. He knows how to get us everything we need. Can you say amen? Amen? He knows how to get the job done. He knows how to get us where we need to be. It doesn't matter how difficult or impossible our situation seems. He can rescue us, to help us, to deliver us, to provide for us. It's a light, simple, easy thing for God. Say, it's easy for God. Thank God we don't have to understand how it's all going to happen. All we have to understand is He is God and He has all power and He can do greater than we could ever imagine. I like that song, you know, He'll Do It Again. You know, you may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. The song was written by some Rhema students and some ORU students. Rhema Band and singers sang it, but Karen Wheaton made it very famous, very popular. But it says, listen, as we're about to quote, you may be down and feel like God has forgotten. And faith, the circumstances, you just can't get through. It may look like there's no way out. It may look like you're going under. But God's proven time and time again, He'll take care of you. He'll do it again. He's always come through. You may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. He knows what you're going through. He sees your broken heart. He's your Father. He's still God, and He will not fail you. He's fighting for you. And just like He did for Moses and Daniel and Shadrach and Abednego, He'll come through for you. Just believe. Just believe. Amen? It's like that preacher that got all fired up and stirred up and excited and anointing that God was on him. And he said, that same God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God today as He was back then. That same God that delivered Moses out of the Red Sea will rescue you. That same God that delivered Daniel out of the lion's den, He will rescue you. That same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, He will rescue you. That same God that got Gideon off that island will rescue you. Well, I don't know about that, but He is the same God. And He will deliver you. Can you say amen? So I just want you to be encouraged this morning. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Never limit God. Never limit God because you don't understand how He's going to do what He said He would do. Quit thinking and start believing. Quit questioning and start believing. God's hand is not short. He will always, always do His part. But don't touch His part. Just believe you receive and be willing to stand for all eternity. If you believe you receive and you're willing to stand for all eternity, you probably won't have to stand very long. Say it out loud and say, God is greater than anything I will ever face. There's no limit to His power. My God is faithful. My God can do anything. My God always keeps His word. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Not a doubter. All things are possible to me. Because I believe. And all things are possible to him that believes. I'm not moved. Say it now. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe God's word. I believe God's word. I have everything it says I have. I can do whatever it says I can do. And I am whoever it says I am. Make that your continual confession, praise God. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallah. By the way, since I took my stand on this ringing of the ears, it has gotten less and less and less and less and less and less. And less. Yeah, but the doctor said it's incurable. Yeah, but they have no God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Just lift your hand and praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hey, manasato lavaboko. I hear the Spirit of God say, give me something to work with. That's all I'm looking for, is for you to give me something to work with. Your faith, believing what I say, and standing on what I say, and not looking at anything else, just stepping out in faith, doing what I tell you to do, believing what I've said about you, that gives me something to work with. Just pray, just count it done, and praise me and thank me that your situation is taken care of. And you'll see the light will dawn, and then you'll walk into victory, and you'll say, oh, I made it work in this area, I can make it in the next area. And you'll have victory after victory after victory after victory, and you'll walk with me, and you'll learn of me, and you'll be able to help many, 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 many people. Oh, don't sit there and think that God doesn't care about you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you. I loved you so much. I care so much about you. I'm on your side. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And I will be a father to you if you will let me. I will take a father's place. And I will care for you and provide for you and protect you and favor you better than any earthly father ever could. And you know how much they can love you. So walk in the light. Walk in the light of the truth of my word. Walk in the light and refuse to look at anything else. And you'll see that the light will always dispel the darkness. That which is troubling you, that which is bothering you, will go away if you'll walk in the light and believe my word and praise me and give me something to work with. Thus saith the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say, God's on my side. He's not against us. He's for us. Praise God. Don't you love us? We have nothing to fear from the Heavenly Father. Oh, our Father who art in heaven. Amen. If you be good, if you be natural and evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give good things to those that ask Him? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Got anything right now that you just can't figure out and you realize that's hindered your faith? And this morning, you just want to say, I'm not going to try to figure this out anymore. I just do my part and believe God. I just believe what His Word says about me. We'll agree with you. We'll believe with you. We'll stand with you. Praise God. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Uh-huh. Blessed be His holy name. Praise Him a second. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship You. We praise You. Thank You, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Okay. Yeah. 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 Blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the name of God. The Bible says that if one rebuke of God, all the waters of the earth would dry up. The streams would dry up. The rivers would dry up. The lakes would dry up. The oceans would dry up at one rebuke of God. I don't know, I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do, okay? God said, as a tither, He said, I will rebuke the devourer over your finances. Hallelujah. And one rebuke, no more water in the entire world. But you have to enforce that rebuke. Say, I believe.
The devourer
is rebuked.
Over my finances.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, that's the same thing as saying, take your hands off my money. Sometimes it's out there and it belongs to you, it's just bottled up. But I believe that there's several people here, several means, you know, that you're going to see. It's like it's been held back, but you're going to all of a sudden see it begin to come like a dam that's broke, and trickle, then it's going to be a flood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's true. That's true of you in Nigeria. That's true of you in Nigeria. And to you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Jude and your family. Glory to God. The devil is bound over your finances. He's rebuked over your finances. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Miss Rock was teaching and it touched my heart so much, and I think you can relate. But I was trying to make a decision one time about something several years ago, and I was in the car with my dad, and I was driving, and he said, what are you going to do about so-and-so? This, you know, what I was trying to decide about. And I said, in fact, to him, well, I've told you this before, but just in the light of the message, I said, well, so-and-so needs to do me to da-da-da-da. I think it'd be better if I da-da-da-da-da. And in this part, the da-da, such and such needs to, you know, and I could da-da-da-da, and I think I need to da, you know, so because da-da-da-da, because they need da-da-da, they need da-da-da, and this needs da-da-da, and that needs da-da-da-da. So I'll call it da-da-da-da. I mean, I'll probably need da-da. You know, in frustration, he looked at me and he said, what do you want? Heart. I was just wanted to burst into tears because my daddy loved me. And he wanted to know what I wanted. Not what all this other wanted. What do you want to do? And I said, well, so I had to get an honest answer. I said, well, I want to be. He said, well, then that's what I do. It was so simple. But you know, in what Mark was preaching today, our Heavenly Father looks at us and we're trying to go, you know, well, there's this and there's that and this and that and that and that. And He just simply says with a father's heart to you as a child, what do you want? What do you want? Just that simple. What do you want? You can take that. Just take it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Amen. Amen. What do you want? Be it unto you according to your word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not happy, you can get happy. If you're not happy, you know, it's probably because you're not walking right with God in some way or another. Just repent and ask God to forgive you, and He will. You say amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. Praise God. God is for you, and Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You're dismissed. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.